Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon. You're welcome back to the Sideshow at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and Sideshow.com. Last week, or this week, actually, in fact, if you were listening to this episode, pause it, stop it, go back and listen to last week's, because it runs directly into this week's show. And then, because we have the same guest on, it's Anne-Marie Pell, this one will make a lot better sense. Go do it. Okay? Okay. You done it? Okay. That's it. In which case, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Part 2 with Anne-Marie Pell. We have discussed what we discussed last week, and what we were on the verge of saying was, if I remember correctly, essentially squeaky bum time at Chelsea Flower Show 2017 for those in the middle of the build. And did I hear something there, Anne-Marie?
It's Katerina's dog, Daisy, barking, so...
I thought I had indigestion there for a minute.
We have a bit of a menagerie here at the studio. Naomi and another girl who works here with us, they're just shutting the door so she doesn't get in and start clawing at the phone or anything like that.
By the time people are listening to this, Chelsea will have already kicked off or will be coming to the tail end of it. Let's skip a little bit forward on that part and let's go to one of the things that caught my eye with you, and we will hopefully have them on within the next while anyway, but Green Fingers Charity, Anne-Marie, what is that, who are they, and what can you tell me about them and your involvement with them?
Oh, I love Green Fingers. Absolutely love Green Fingers. Now, Green Fingers are a really small charity. There's only four of them actually in the office. So, and they do amazing work. Essentially, there's a lot of children in this country, about 500,000, who are going to be having short lives, to be honest. So, and what Green Fingers do is they raise funds in order to build gardens in these children's hospices, to be honest. And they really do transform people's lives. So I got involved with Green Fingers about maybe 3 or 4 years ago when Matthew Wilson was the chairman. And we really wanted to kind of like crank up the design element so that the gardens that the Green Fingers were delivering were really, really good and keen and answered a lot of the hospice's requirements. So he asked me to come and get involved with the design board. And I just fell hook, line and sinker in love with the works that they were doing. So there are about 500,000 children in the country who need some respite. So, and it's unlike an adult hospice where you go in really at the end of your life. So the hospices where children visit, they can visit hospices from any sort of being young until children's hospices run to about 24, and they can be using them, frequenting them for the whole of their lives. So it offers fun, respite, education, and a lot of support for friends and families of these really ace special children who are just like my children, but just find life a little bit more difficult because of something that they never asked for, and it's just happened. So they asked me to be a patient from last year, and I'm lucky enough to be able to help kind of fundraise or open hospice gardens for them, or pretty much I'll do anything they ask, because once you've been into a hospice environment, it changes you forever, Peter. It really does. And they are such joyful, happy places to be in. And you never know when you as a parent might actually need one for yourself, for your own children, or one of your friends and family. They might want to make use of a children's hospice. That, you know, it's essential. And I want people to be able to have good quality green space to be able to enjoy these really special moments with their children. And these are memories that they will hold with them for the rest of their lives. So yeah, it's such important work. I love it.
Did you have a new garden open with them of recent?
Yeah. Yesterday afternoon, I was lecturing actually over for the London College of Gardens, finding a queue, and Andrew, I phoned him and said, please, can I leave a little bit earlier? And it was my son's birthday as well. So because it was just, they opened up at Helen and Douglas House up in Oxford, and we ran a competition with the KLC Garden Design Studio, and Nicola won that competition. And Helen and Douglas is a particularly sort of landmark hospice because it was the first children's hospice to actually open in this country. and they have six beds, and the amount of children that they've looked after in those years and their friends and families, I just really wanted to be there, really, to open it up. So Amana and I, little girl who uses the hospice facilities, cut the tape yesterday, the orange tape, and we celebrated it. So it was wonderful because so many people have been involved in the local community to fundraise. There was lots of invitees there who had actually fundraised. So it's a really celebratory, happy occasion. So a real privilege and honour and an absolute delight, I have to say.
Well, for those of you listening at home, if you are sitting by your desktop listening to this, they are greenfingerscharity.org.uk. That's greenfingerscharity.org.uk. They are indeed a wonderful charity, and I have, and again, we're hoping to have them on in the next couple of months anyway. Anne-Marie's interview just came a little bit closer to Chelsea and probably a little bit more appropriate to have this as a by the way of introduction on a double episode. At Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow if you want to find out anything more about that, and we'll put you directly in touch with them. What's it like though, Anne-Marie? I mean, you're talking to I'll call myself a young enough man at this stage of the game, slightly more mature as we discussed last week, or slightly more mature by sole virtue of the fact that I now shave, but the child is still alive in my head, or that big kid that never grew up. What's it like to be asked to be a patron? Have you ever been asked that before?
Of course not, and I had to Google what patrons do, so I had no idea. When you're working, I mean, I've got two young children myself, pro bono time, I really do like to try and do, and I just love the company of children when people, you know, they have their eyes open, they're open to anything, and so to be asked to be a patron, I was floored and just would do anything I could to help them, really. I can't tell you the difference it makes just visiting hospices and seeing what their works do. And I have to say, if any of your listeners are actually know people or hospices or anything like that, that we are always open as Greenfingers for applications. So we'll look at anything, any project, and if we can make them happen, we really, really will. And that's what's so lovely about a small charity, because if anybody does fundraise, they don't have massive overheads. So it means that almost all the money that is donated goes directly back to the hospice. So that was also a reason why I was so thrilled to be able to be a patron, but not just as a figurehead, but I could actually physically make a difference to other people's lives, really. So, and I will continue to do that for as long as I breathe, really.
In the Greenfingers charity department, they are Greenfingers charity creating magical gardens for children in hospices. Do, by all means, go look them up. Take a rummage around. And again, if you're unsure of where to go with maybe that query in your head, maybe you've got an idea that it might be just raising a few quid. It might be a tea morning, a coffee morning. It might be opening up your garden and charging £1 or 50 pence in the door. Whatever the case may be, just at Sideshow on Twitter and we'll put you directly in touch with Anne-Marie or Greenfingers Charity, one or the other.
And Peter, if people, you know, we are actively looking for support in any way. So, you know, we've got Adam Frost, who's designing a garden at Keach Hospice that we were hoping to open in July, depending on when the build completes. And so if you're interested in designing a garden, or we've got Jodie Lidyard who's building three gardens up at Chelsea at the moment, building for us. So if you want to just get involved in some way, you know, you don't have to just donate. But if you've got some sort of practical experience that you think might be helpful, email the charity or indeed me. So, you know, I'd love to hear from you. So really, I would.
Well, look, we had this before with Perennial, and when I interviewed Chris Crooker, another fantastic British-based, UK-based charity, and I think I queried about the fact that no Irishman's arse had ever appeared in their charity calendar. And she essentially told me to put my money or my arse where my mouth was, which way you want to take that cliche. And so I did. We're back to the don't dare Peter thing all over again. But I did bare my bottom for the sake of charity. I do have a very bad tan line. And when I got to Wisley, where the photographs were taking place, I realized that everybody else had got their tan lines fake tanned over except for the Irish boy.
Well, at least you'd stand out and you're being different, which is something that we were talking about. We have to do that. It's in our nature.
Well, I didn't want my bottom to stand out for the white reasons.
I don't know. Some people can be very partial to a white bottom. So you never know. You never know your luck.
Well, I saw my own white bottom and I kind of went, Jesus, I nearly got blinded by it. Look, let's not talk about my posterior anymore. Did I see that you were doing a little bit of work for one of the, what would I call them, hardware super duper superstores?
Absolutely, I am, yes. I don't know, I hardly get any sleep these days, I have to say. Yeah, absolutely I am. So are we allowed to say the name? So.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah, by all means.
So Suzanne Hind, the PR company, phoned me and just asked me if I'd like to work with Homebase on their Garden Goals campaign for this summer. So I leapt at the chance, quite honestly. So, and I have to say, they are a wonderful company to work with. So I didn't really know quite what to expect going into this kind of very much what I thought scary corporate kind of field. So, but they've been all so wonderful to work with and are absolutely charming. I think we've made some pretty good films on their website, which just kind of show and just hopefully inspire people to get out there and sort their gardens out this summer with a little bit of help and advice from yours truly, I suppose. So, yeah.
I see people sometimes do these things, Anne-Marie, and I say this extremely eloquently, but they tend to, would you mind endorsing our Set of Emperor's New Clothes type trowel? It's made of porridge and toast, and if you try and dig it into the ground, it's going to essentially fall to pieces. And in a nutshell, for a lady like you, who I have heard described as the doyenne of British horticulture.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's what I said. I had to Google what diane meant. But in a nutshell, bearing in mind that you have come off the back of last year's 2016 RHS Royal Horticultural Society representing them success, bearing in mind that you are, I guess there's no question about it, you are at the top of your game, did you do that thing where you kind of said, let me see what I'm supposed to be doing before I actually put my name to it? And
yeah,
what is that you have actually put your name to, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I did say, what do you want me to do first? Because in no way was anyone going to put me back in a wheelbarrow. As I first had to do a lot of wheelbarrow shots when I first got into TV, so I wasn't going back there at all. So what I do love about sort of, I'm not very good about boasting about my achievements, but I suppose the position that I find myself in at the moment, I do find it really useful that I can inspire other people. So and it was very much that they wanted to make inspirational films. So, and I don't think that gardening should be unavailable to anybody, really. So no matter how much money you've got, where you shop, you know, if I can inspire you to garden, then I'll do it. So, and that was very much one of the key factors with Homebase, that it was just like, you know, you want to do it, just the whole premise with the Garden Goals is like, just don't bite off more than you can chew. Like, it's almost like the drop a dress size campaign. You set a goal and then you chip away at it. So you write your list and well, you set out what you want to achieve in the first instance, be it add more colour to your garden or create an entertainment space, which is obviously close to my heart, and write your list and then kind of stick to it. So that's what the films are about, really, rather than, you know, me standing there with a product or, as I said before, reclining in a wheelbarrow looking, you know, artful or cheesy is how I used to always look. So, so yeah, it was very much about what I was doing. Absolutely. And it was something that I felt that I wanted to do. So, yeah.
Hold on a second. A-N-N, Anne-Marie Pell. No, I'm just, you, bear with me.
Do not Google. You will find it.
Wheelbarrow, B-A-W-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-O-R-R-
mind.
Anne-Marie Powell, mother of God, she's a fine-looking woman. I'm only joking.
Yeah, I don't go back too far. There's all sorts of pictures on there, I tell you. So I did used to tell you that I used to be a bit of a wild party girl. So
yeah, there's a very famous photograph, well, now famous, of myself and my sister, Liz, when I had long hair clipped back behind my ears and I was just fresh out of horticultural college. So we leave... We leave those photographs entirely to one side, indeed.
If I don't Google you, you can't Google me. That's just not fair.
I'll Google you when I get off the phone. I promise I won't. No. I'm only joking.
Really? That sounds even worse.
Talk to me about 2017, Anne-Marie, because you're not doing, and again, for those of you not aware, so when I built show gardens for, let's say, 1st of June, just to simplify the maths at home, 1st of June 2017, I would have had the garden already designed by, let's say, 30th of July kind of thing, in around about there. So when you finish building the garden in June, you have about a week to take it apart. Get about 6 weeks rest, 7 weeks rest, and then you essentially start the process.
6 or 7 weeks rest? My word.
4? Is that too much?
Oh, gosh, that's loads. What were you doing in those 6 or 7 weeks? Lordy. Anyway, sorry. I was actually trying to make
a few bob, you know, pay off the bills of building the show.
Rest from show. I apologise.
You're okay. No, I didn't sit down and watch an A-Team in my pajamas, Spider-Man pajamas.
In your string vest and your pants.
Okay, so, don't Google that either. But bearing in mind, you're not doing any... Well, I won't say you're not doing anything for 2017, but you don't have the show garden pressure upon you for 2017. And in short, it is very much an 8 month, 9 month, 10 month in your head, floating around, trying to get it all right. You don't just arrive up on site the first or second week in May and go, where will I get a few plants? It's not that kind of a thing, to be quite frank about it. It's a year, if not longer, of work and trialing and testing designs and trialing and even getting in touch with the likes of Jamie Butterworth and Horace Loci and saying, I need these plants to be X by next June. That a lot of that takes longer than a year. Have you found yourself with a little bit more time at home? Have you found the kids turn around saying, Jesus, Mom's watching EastEnders again? Has that happened? He says jestfully.
Down the pub again. No, not at all. Not one bit. So we are we're in the fortunate position as and it seems to me, talking to other garden designers and contractors, that we're a lot of us in the same boat. It is frenetically busy. So instead of just having one show garden in my head and then the rest of the studio having to kind of keep all the other gardens afloat, we're in the position, in the fortunate position, and I don't want to sound like I'm complaining at all, that we've probably got double the gardens that we had this time last year. And then you don't just have one client, you've got several. So and so just getting through the work, and we've got some really interesting projects on, ranging from really small gardens, so because I do love doing small gardens, urban or all rural, I'd never let those drop out of our portfolio, to huge gardens that are, you know, commercial projects with hotels and all sorts of things. So no, I am not resting on my laurels, so at all. So it's lovely these days that the projects, you know, we can sort of say, you know, we're really busy, could you wait for us for a couple of months and then we'll look at it then. So, and that's a lovely position to be in, and it's a lovely position that now, after 20 years, most of our projects tend to be pretty local to the studio where we work from. So, but no, it's frenetic still, but just in a different way.
For the greater part, they're not gardens that people will pay money in the door to see.
That's true. We do, obviously, we want all of our gardens to be good. So, and, you know, we are always striving for excellence. And I want to make sure that my gardens are true to the studio and that they're different and they feel very much like us. So we're constantly trying to be innovative within the budget parameter that's set by the client. So yes, we don't have people coming to pay it and see it, but I see it. So the girls see it, and everything that comes out of, and the client sees it. So everything that comes out of the office, we need to make sure we are more than happy with and exceeding our clients' every aspiration, really. So that's just as big a challenge. So, but yeah, we're not worrying about the medals. That's very true. And I do feel very, very clear in my mind that designing a show for gardens who at Chelsea at the moment, who are working, you know, and trying to run their studios and build a garden at Chelsea and go for a medal to take the crowds and their customers and the RHS, it's a tough gig. And I do know what that feels like, so I'm not trying to underestimate that, but I'm so relieved I don't have that pressure this year after doing a couple of years of show in a row. So yeah.
And let me just clarify that for those of you at home: be you building in Dublin? Be you building in Malvern, Chatsworth, Hampton, Tatton, or Chelsea? The zeros might be a little bit greater or vary a little bit more. But believe me, that pressure that you put upon yourself—it's it is absolutely colossal. And when, as I call it, the Easter Bunny comes around that morning and leaves that medal or no medal at your garden, I don't think I slept any night that medals or awards were due to be given or about to be called out. I don't think I did. I think I went straight away through and out the far side. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, I've been in a position where I've got a medal that has disappointed me and a medal that's, you know, been absolutely celebratory and wonderful. So I've been at both ends of the spectrum. So, and when they come round with those envelopes, you're quite right. You don't know whether to run towards it or run away from it. So, and it takes over your life, Show. Absolutely. I mean, you become unbearable to live with. Your children forget who you are. You're grumpy. You're keeping your partner awake at night. So you're talking incessantly about something to your friends and family. If they're not involved in horticulture, think you're insane for even entertaining in the first place. So, and then after all of that planning, as you say, you've got a really marathon-like build where you are just in the echelons of your peers and contemporaries, of all the best at their game. But you have such long hours and it's physically draining, but also a relief to be on site. So when you finally arrive on the medal day, after probably drinking so much at press day the day before in the sheer relief of getting the garden completed, and they come up to you with medals, I always, always kind of have a lump in my throat for anybody that you see Nicky Chapman running up to with the envelopes on TV, because I know exactly what they're feeling. So, and the cameras keep on rolling and you've got to kind of explain, you know, if you haven't got the medal you want, to all of your peers that have worked with you on that build, including your client, and you feel like it's your fault. And I feel for those people so, so, so strongly. So, but of course, you know, it's lovely to also celebrate people where you're just so pleased that they've got the medal, that they're so thrilled and feel that, you know, they've got what they've deserved. So, yeah, it's such a ride, isn't it? It really is. And that's what's addictive about it. It is addictive.
It's a roller coaster of absolute emotions at all times, indeed. Anne-Marie, there's one thing that I was always told, again, for those of you who know the Sod Show, you'll know that I was, you know, doing the plants thing under my bed when I was five. I did my first garden age 10 and then to Hort College. So I've never really done anything apart from, or as I noted in horticulture quite recently, when my now 7-year-old daughter gave me a card saying I was the best dad. I think I noted that I had never really been responsible for a whole lot of things outside of making gardens up until this point. In that nutshell, my mom's words, which were careful on the way up, the wheel tends to turn, it'll kick in the arse on the way back around. To put that into the industry that we are in, which you noted was and is, it's a tough industry to be in, but a very beautiful one when things tend to go according to plan. The one thing I tend to do is to hold my friends extremely close to my chest. I mean, I'm so blessed and so very grateful for those who are part of my life. You tend to have yourself surrounded with only the finest of the fine. And if you'll allow me put them into that category for you, Mark Straver and Jamie Butterworth and the team at Hortus Loci, as for example, how important is it to have those people by your side when you're building those gardens, number one, and equally, as you would rightly say, when the wheel turns and you don't get exactly as maybe you anticipated, hoped for and wanted?
Those relationships are absolutely key to me. So, and you know, I tend to work with people that I like, who deliver excellence, but, you know, also that I trust. And a lot of our relationships with contractors and suppliers, they are not just suppliers to us. They've become very much part of our team. And also they become friends. I socialize a lot with people who work with us. So we kind of think about these people as the wider team of Anne-Marie Powell Gardens. So we really do. And we really hope that they know that we just really, really appreciate all of their energies that they put into our business, because these are the people that make our gardens become excellent. They're the people that kind of take our gardens into the higher level of what we're trying to achieve. So So I really do appreciate all of those kind of relationships that we have, and companies that we've had long and established relationships with, and we've tended to work with the same people for years, I have to say. So, and they are very much part of the Emery Powell Gardens family, but they're also part of the Emery Powell family as well. So, and that's something that I'm very fortunate in, you know, and we all make mistakes. So, and so sometimes those real key relationships are made when things don't always go right. It's all about how we all get together and make things correct, you know, so and get over those mistakes. And I think that's really when you can trust somebody, is if a mistake has been made in whatever sphere of a garden build, it's just how things are put right. And that's where you build your relationship and make your trust partnerships, really. So, yeah, so I'm very fortunate, but that's something that's happened quite naturally, because we are so very passionate in our careers, aren't we, all of us, be you a plantsman, be you stoneman, a brick factory. And I tend to work with people that I like, and you can see an instant affinity and a love for what they're doing. And I want to work with people like that.
I think that's a beautiful way to surmise it. I'll reference something we noted on last week's episode, which was the meeting in the tavern post the Garden Media Guild Awards in 2016. And just the crowd, I say the crowd, there was only about 12 of us there, if I remember correctly, but just the people that were around you. And to be fair, I felt very at ease in that company, in a, I guess, an event that I had never really been to before. And it was quite wonderful. And it was beautiful to see you again. Emery Powell, a very fitting way to finish out part two of our chat. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. If you want to get in touch with Emery, she is on the Twitter. That's Anne Marie Powell on Twitter. It's Anne, A-N-N, hyphen or dash. In fact, listen, I'll tell you what you do. At Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow or sideshow.com. Just send me a note and I'll put you directly in touch. Anne Marie Powell, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you once again. I look forward to seeing you, at the Garden Media Guild Awards in 2017, if not before then, fingers crossed.
I hope it's before, Peter, I do. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem at all. We did meet last June, actually, in Dublin, at Dublin Castle. You were there for the Ron Finlay thing. I'll bite quite briefly.
We were. So, yeah, we flew literally in for the Ron Finlay event there. So, and then pretty much kind of we're on the island in Dublin, just smashing around with the children and eating barbecue. So, so yeah, I love Dublin. Isn't it a fantastic city? So,
grown a little bit, it's changed a little bit, but very much for the better.
No, I'm really, 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 next time I'm over there, let's go out.
Yeah, we'll keep it very quiet and low key, and we'll have a pot of tea and some jam and scones, Anne Marie. How's about that?
You're right. That's not gonna happen, is it?
No, it's not indeed. Anne Marie Powell, thank you so much for your time. A pleasure. Take care, and we'll talk shortly.
And you too. See you soon.
Thanks, Anne Marie.
Lovely.
Appreciate it, darling.
Okay, well, have a lovely weekend.
You too. Slán.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Boom. How was that? That okay?
Yeah, that was great. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
I enjoyed that. Does go fast, doesn't it? Just blah blah blah.
It does. It does. It does. It does. Anne Marie Powell, you are available at Anne, that's A-N-N, I'll take that again as an outro.
I love it. Yeah, Who is she again?
Yeah. The outtakes part three. Okay, we'll take this again.